Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Thank you for tuning in to the Amazing with Grace podcast. I hope that your week has been peaceful and productive thus far. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much. If there's something on here that you like or if you have questions, please shoot me a DM at Dr. Q Perry on IG or send me an email by going to the show's website, www.amazingwithgrace.com, and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab. Most of my listeners are busy professionals, and as a busy professional myself, I understand how much time we spend working. We work, we work, we work. And if you're like me, you might actually be sometimes wondering, is my work in vain? I'm working 7 days a week sometimes, and I am just spent. Today, we'll be discussing the importance of being rested, refreshed, and ready to work, which is very appropriate given our busy Western culture. I was looking online and I found an article that says America is considered one of the most overworked countries in the world. As of 2019, that's just last year, y'all, the average hours worked per day in America was 8.5 hours during the week, and on the weekends was about 4.4 hours. And I think that number might actually be an underestimate, especially for the people who pull 12-hour shifts. I was asking myself, where do we even get the idea that we should work excessively? One of the historical explanations comes from a German sociologist by the name of Max Weber. This was a long time ago, who came up with this idea of the Protestant work ethic. And this is basically the idea that Protestants took pride in their work because they believed that having wealth was a sign of God's favor and eternal salvation. And they thought that it was sinful to spend money on luxuries. And even though that might be an old mindset, I think we still see that today, especially with the excessive work mindset that we have, the hustle and bustle culture that we live in. We think busyness means that we are important and we have clout, and sometimes that we have favor from God. There's an article in the Harvard Business Review that says, in America, we associate busyness with higher status in comparison to other cultures that see leisure as a sign of higher status. I haven't dug too deep into this, but I have read some time ago that America is the only developed country that doesn't have a limit on how much work someone can do in a week and that doesn't have mandated time off of work. To me, that speaks volumes because it sends the message that it's okay to work excessively. And I think over time, our culture has given us this general life script. So you graduate high school, go to college, get a good job, then potentially go on to graduate law or medical school, get married, have kids, have a certain amount of money in the bank, on and on. And in our pursuit of filling this life script, we make the assumption that being busy equals productivity. And quite frankly, y'all, I just don't see it, especially in my own life. Being busy has not always equaled productivity. And I think being excessively busy can sometimes subtly be attached to our self-worth. What happens is we end up in an unspoken competition because we're vying to get a trophy of being the most busy man or most busy woman, woman with the most full calendar, man with kids in the most activities. I think it's sad that kids are sometimes viewed as lazy if they decide to work a part-time job while they're in school and not be engaged in any other extracurricular activities. It's almost like they're shunned if they're not involved in 20 different activities and in a leadership position in at least 10 of them. The idea is that it proves to colleges and jobs and different scholarship committees that you're a go-getter and you're not lazy, which I think is unfortunate, and it sets our kids up to have the wrong mindset about work from the very start. I can't tell you how many adult athletes I've counseled who say, as they reflect on their childhood, that they regret that their parents didn't listen to them when they wanted a break or when they wanted to change activities when they were younger. They wished that they listened to their own bodies that screamed for a break, or their minds that wanted to try something different, something more creative, or something less competitive. I think we're constantly striving, and although we might check off some, if not all, of the boxes that we have on our life script, y'all know my favorite question is, what price are we paying? Usually, we pay with anxiety, feeling irritable and overwhelmed, feeling burned out, comparing ourselves to other people, having low self-esteem as a consequence of that, and we have poor health because we're not putting time into doing things that improve our physical and mental health. When I was preparing for this topic on a more personal note, I was trying to figure out where I learned to work like that outside of seeing women in my family work hard. I think it was subtly ingrained as I was trained to go from an early age. I think back to my marching band days in high school. Shout out to the Lincoln High School Wall of Sound Band. I was thinking about my schedule. So went to school, went to band practice afterwards, and at that time there weren't many strict UIL rules surrounding practice, so we practiced for hours and even into the night sometimes, especially around times where we had Battle of the Bands or we had upcoming performances. So think about getting out of school late, going home, doing chores, doing homework, and then on some mornings, we would have to be back at school by 6:30 a.m. to prepare for pep rallies on game days. Our band traveled a lot, so that was added time of always being on. Once marching band season ended, we went straight into concert band season. And plus, I worked a part-time job. I know that any band members, athletes, or performing arts can relate to the struggle of doing homework, going to practice, games, performances, and still keeping your grades up. I kept that pattern going even into college because I had my son while I was a junior in college, and so I had to get into the rhythm of making the most use of my time. While he was asleep, I was doing homework or cleaning or doing something else to see that I could be as productive as I could with as little time as I had. My workload increased as my son got older and more involved in extracurricular activities, helping him with his homework. At the same time, I was also still in school, working on my own papers and dissertation during my free time. I kept up the momentum once I graduated because I had to study on the weekends to get licensed. I worked at a hospital, so I didn't have a whole lot of energy once I got off work to study. So my weekends were dedicated to studying for my licensure exam. Basically, what I'm saying was that it was always something to do, and every day was a work day. Eventually, my mind got so programmed that it felt weird not having something to do. And I know that you can probably relate as you feel the same pull to manage all that's on your plate with work, school, family, friends, church, personal life, you name it. And until recently, I worked every day, and I know that I'm not the only one. As Christians, we don't have to hustle and grind in the way we assume. So I wanted to talk today about some revelations about the conditions of my heart that God gave me a couple of months ago, and it's been very helpful to my mental and spiritual health, and I hope that you will benefit from it as well. The first one is that there's nothing wrong with working hard, but we have to look at the priority of work in our hearts. I was reminded of the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha gets so busy doing what she believes is the necessary work of Jesus that she misses his presence. And she also asks him to make her sister Mary to get up and help. He says in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Jesus didn't condemn Martha for working hard. He was just letting her know everything doesn't have to fall on her. And he gently reminded her the distractions in her heart, in this case, working, had become her priority rather than her relationship with Jesus. Number two, working incessantly indicates an issue with trust in our heart. When I work every day, I'm putting my trust in my own or someone else's efforts and not God. I had to ask myself, If you truly value your relationship and time with God, then why do you not honor true rest as something important? And that's the same question I pose to you today. If you truly value and trust God with your life, with the outcomes of your life, then why do we not honor Him by truly resting? Number three, working incessantly indicates our hearts don't know the true value of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 command us to keep the Sabbath. It says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, He rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." You know, I don't think that we intentionally defy God by working every day. I think our minds have been so programmed to hustle, and we end up on autopilot without even realizing the thoughts that are truly driving our behavior. We can come up with so many reasons why we can't honor the Sabbath. I know sometimes I've even thought things like, I don't have time to rest, I can do that later, the work won't get done if I don't do it, I'll rest on vacation, my work is too valuable to take time off. But when you take a closer look at a lot of these thoughts, you can actually see that there are some assumptions behind that. For example, if I were to say, I don't have time to rest, I can do that later, the assumption is that I have later, when we know that tomorrow is not promised to us. If I look at the one that says, the work won't get done if I don't do it, the assumption is that I'm the only one who can get something done and that other people are not as equipped to get work done. If you look at the one that says, I'll rest on vacation, the assumption is that you'll take a vacation, but never realizing that you either don't take the vacation or that you take your work with you when you go. You carry it with you on your computer or your phone or in your heart that shows up in your ability to stop thinking and talking about work while you're on vacation. I want to ask you, what excuses do you tell yourself and other people about why you cannot take a break? Number four, working incessantly indicates an identity issue because we are not our work. Even if you are working in ministry or your vocational calling, it does not mean that is who you are or that it makes you more valuable. I think sometimes we make the mistake of judging certain jobs as more valuable in the kingdom or to God than they really are. And then we mistakenly attach those jobs and how much we work to our value and our self-worth. We can get so busy that we start to believe our work is more important than God's commandment to rest. I was listening to a snippet of a sermon by Pastor Robert Morris where he's talking about his new book called Take the Day Off. And he was talking about how we place more importance on some of the other Ten Commandments, but we just kind of blow off the commandment to rest. And it was fascinating because, I mean, I know I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I know even before then, I just never put any thought to that. It's almost like I looked at it as a suggestion, something that was strongly encouraged and not a commandment. And that is what really has been life-changing for me, to sit down and realize that this is not a guideline. This is not a suggestion. This is something that God wants us to do. I have not yet read the book, but it is definitely high on my list, and I will make sure to put that in the show notes. What I want to do is give you some tips to prepare yourself for Sabbath rest so you can be refreshed and ready to work. These are some things that I have done, or these are some suggestions that I have given to others who I have the privilege of counseling, and it has been very, very beneficial. The first one is identify your work duties. including emails, responding or sending DMs, running errands for your job, returning phone calls, ordering supplies, talking to customers, anything that you can think of. I want you to take out some paper and write down what exactly is your work. And this will help you know what not to engage in on the day that you rest. It'll also help you to set boundaries around where you work. For example, I won't check or send emails in the living room or respond to patient messages at the kitchen table. Or, for example, a person might decide, I'm going to just keep all of my work files in the office. That way, I won't be tempted to bring the files home and then work all over my house whenever I get a free moment. Another helpful tip is to prepare your heart for Sabbath rest. My struggle was that I would observe the Sabbath physically, but my mind and my heart were still occupied with work and all that I needed to get done. So to me, that defeated the purpose because overthinking made me physically exhausted. And so I was not refreshed when I got back to work. It didn't feel like I had a day off. And if that's where you start out, it's okay because it might be a struggle as you start to transition into building a rhythm of rest in your life. What helped for me is to make a list of the things that I could do so that my mind wasn't occupied by either what I couldn't do or what all I was not getting done. And that way you have a list of things to choose from to occupy your mind, so that way your mind will start to look forward to those things. And when I say rest, I'm not only referring to sleeping or sitting in bed all day. There are a number of things that you can do that are active, if that's what you choose to do, that will actually refresh your body and your soul. Number three, identify how you feel and what you're doing when your mind is completely away from work. Notice I said your mind and not your body, because like I said, you can physically be taking a break from work, but not mentally present. Number four, make Sabbath rest a non-negotiable and plan for it by putting it on your schedule. You can do that by trying to meet your Monday deadlines on Friday or on Saturday, so you're not rushing to do things on Sunday. You can also plan for it by running your errands ahead of time. Again, if you put it on your schedule, then you can start to build that into your regular routine. Number five, get discipline. It can be hard to discipline your spirit and your mind to rest, especially when your mind has gotten so accustomed to either physically working or mentally working and preparing for when you physically are back in the office or back at work. And for me, I love what I do. In my heart, it's one of the ways that I worship God. So because I'm doing exactly what I was created to do, it flows, and a lot of times it doesn't feel like work. And sometimes that's the problem. It doesn't feel like work. So I have to discipline myself to say, even though I'm not mentally tired, even though I'm not mentally drained, I will still rest. I think sometimes, especially if we get into perfectionism, we say, oh, I don't feel tired, so I don't need rest. I'm not sleepy, so I don't need rest. But the word encourages us. The word commands us to honor the Sabbath. And it does not mean you have to be exhausted to actually get some rest. You guys, these five tips are not hard and fast rules, but suggestions. God will help you build a personal rhythm of rest into your schedule. For example, I had a board meeting in Atlanta a few weeks ago, and the board meeting required that I worked on Sunday. Sunday is usually my day of Sabbath rest. What I did was I looked ahead in my schedule and I said, okay, what is the next day that I can actually take some time off? So instead of it being that Sunday, I decided to take some rest that following Friday to get myself back on schedule into my regular rhythm of rest. I'm already seeing some benefits, and I hope to hear some of your testimonies of how you are starting to rest, what steps you're taking, what tips and tricks you're trying to get your mindset around the importance of taking it. One of the main benefits that I have already started to notice is that I am actually more productive and more creative when I do return to work because my mind has had a chance to get respite. My soul is rested from a full week of hustling. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14 in the Message Bible says, "If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so." This scripture reminds me that there are benefits to resting. And I'm learning that there is a difference between my rest and God's rest. When I rest, I don't feel refreshed because my mind is still going. So we want to enter into His rest. Let me end this segment by saying, rest is a gift and there is a blessing attached to resting. The same way we honor God with our tithes is the same way we should honor Him with our schedules, by getting rest. The same way that God blesses the 90% when we give our tithe is the same way that He will bless the work we do in the other 6 days. Let's move on to our Dr. Q's Couch segment. Mr. D writes, "I think it's okay to show strong work ethic by working every day so I can be a good role model for my family." I don't necessarily see a question here. I think this one's more of a comment. So he says, "I think it's okay to show strong work ethic by working every day so I can be a good role model for my family." Mr. D, I do agree with you, but I do think that there is a difference between a strong work ethic and an unhealthy one. When I think of a strong work ethic, I think of being committed, being honest, professional, being motivated, dependable, flexible, being respectful of others, being respectful of the materials and the resources that you have on your job, being on time and being productive, producing high quality work, being accountable, and having a work-life balance. To me, that is a strong and healthy work ethic. But I see a strong work ethic that's not healthy when you take the things that I just listed off as too far and you see your work as your sole value and you think that any time off work means that you're a slacker or that time off is unimportant or you're unable to tear your mind away from work even when you're not physically there. So again, I don't see a specific question here, but I would encourage you, Mr. D, to identify where you got the message of working and hustling every single day as a must. Ask yourself things like, what's the motivation behind my work? Is it an effort to prove to myself, others, or God that I'm a good person and that I'm deserving of praise, a raise, or some other blessing? Something else to consider is whether you're overcompensating for work because you feel inadequate in other areas of your life. If you truly want to know how you're doing in other areas, ask your friends, ask your family. The goal is to have a good and godly work ethic tempered with wisdom. Another person writes in and says, "How do I observe the Sabbath if I work in the day, go to school in the evening, and have to do my homework on the weekends?" You know, Anonymous, this is a great question, and I can't say that I have a definitive answer because it's something that I have grappled with myself, because I do know that we all have different seasons in our lives. I know that we may not be able to do a full day of Sabbath rest, but I think the Holy Spirit will allow you and show you where to have blocks of time that honor Him by resting, not just in your body, but in your mind. When we seek God, we find rest and He gives it to us. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest." So I know that is not a specific answer to your question and that is intentional because again, everybody's season in life will be different. And so I think the Holy Spirit will guide you into the rest that He wants you to have with Him. Someone else writes in and says, Genesis 2:2 points out that God rested after He finished His work. So doesn't that justify working by any means until it's done? I think this is a very clever question, but I think the answer is no. I don't think that we can work by any means until it's done because I think we have to use God's pattern of work and rest as our rubric. Now, again, I do realize that there will be seasons when we have to work a little bit more than others, but we don't want to turn that into a lifestyle. A season is not for a lifetime. And that's where we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who can gently nudge us so that we know when we have crossed the line between working hard and when we start to worry and work and manipulate outcomes. Again, balance and Sabbath rest is going to look different for everyone. Let us move into our prayer time. Father God, thank you for another day in our presence. Thank you for giving us the discipline to rest. Teach us to understand that rest is essential to the life and health of our body, our minds, spirit, relationship, and business. Help us not to spend time and money on things that promise rest, but leave us feeling more exhausted and worried. Help us to grow closer to you as we continue to build in Sabbath rest into our schedules. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that is our segment for today. Again, I will have everything that's mentioned here in our show notes. And another resource that you may find helpful on my website is a personal care kit for busy professionals. And this will be on my website. It's $10. And it offers 50 personal care ideas for the busy professional. There is a mind release worksheet, which is also considered a brain dump worksheet. There is a burnout assessment. There is a burnout self-assessment and interpretation of your scores and a burnout prevention checklist. So again, visit my website. It will be in the show notes, and I hope you all continue to have a great week. Take care.